Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103,
Lincoln 102. Responding 241 Park Instructor, Section 1 Boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9. Respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911 on the Tidbit 400 lower level near Carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and around.
484 suspect, the female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue G, no further.
Control, high freight, 401 is a route.
Well, good evening and welcome to another live great edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. And although it is evening here on the East Coast, as we mentioned frequently, we do have listeners across the country and around the world. So good afternoon and good morning, wherever you might be. I know we got an email a few weeks ago telling us that someone was eating breakfast and listening to us live on the other side of the world. It was already the next day. So we can't forget them, and we won't leave them out. But welcome to our show tonight. I'm Rick McCann. I am your host, founder, and CEO of Private Officer International, as well as the Public Safety Training Institute, and we are glad to have you tonight. We know that we have quite a few listeners joining us for this special edition, as we are going to be talking tonight about a very timely subject. We will be discussing in our training segment tonight, 1015, juvenile in custody. And juvenile crime has been on the rise for more than 5 years, and we're going to be talking about various aspects of that tonight. Welcome again to our new night. As you probably noticed, this is not Sunday. This is not our usual evening that we normally have our broadcast, but we have moved our weekly show from Sunday to Monday night, at least during the summer months, because people are very active and many people are not home on the weekend. They are either working or out of town, or they've got a dozen things going on, and Sunday night just is not a good time for them. So we're hoping that Monday night is a better night. So at least for the next few months, although it is already July, can you believe it? We're already, you know, into almost the middle of July. But at least for the next couple of months, we're going to broadcast our weekly program on Monday night, 7:30 Eastern Time, right here on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. And then on Tuesdays, at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, you can listen to the LP Zone, the loss prevention radio show that's all about retail security, mall security, and loss prevention. So we hope that this night works out for you, and we're glad that you've joined us. Now, I do want to mention quickly here at the top of the show, we do have a heat advisory for this week. As many of you know, if you're in the South or the Midwest, this has already been a very hot and humid season, both the spring and the summer already. We do have a heat advisory issued by the National Weather Service for Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, the Carolinas, Texas already in the triple digits, and many other states experiencing above normal heat, hot temperatures. Here in the Georgia area, temperatures, heat index of 112 this weekend. Carolinas, same thing. Today, the temperature was 98 with a heat index of 107. That is very, very hot. And if you are out working, out, you know, on patrol, if you are outside, this is going to affect many things, but overall it will affect your physical condition. Heat stroke and heat exhaustion is a real possibility when you are working outside. So we want to remind you to be sure that you hydrate often with water, not carbonated soft drinks, and definitely not alcohol, and to get into the shade as frequently as possible. We know that we had a notification today of two security officers who were working on a traffic detail that were suffered from heat exhaustion and had to be transported to the emergency room. We know that from previous experience that if you are out in a vehicle on mobile patrol, especially during the daylight hours, you are also receptive to heat exhaustion if you don't, you know, use that AC. So be sure that you do take breaks, that you hydrate, that you get out of the sun as frequently as possible. Now, while I'm on this subject, I also want to remind you, we sent a memo out last week or the week before regarding this, but I want to again remind you that if you are in the private security, public safety, law enforcement business, during these summer months especially, it is important that while you are on patrol that you check the vehicles in the parking lot, that you are checking for children left unattended or even animals. Animals can succumb to the heat very, very quickly, even if you have your window somewhat down. If there's not enough ventilation in the vehicle temperature can actually rise 30 to 40 degrees just like that. It may be 85 degrees outside, but inside the vehicle where the heat has already increased through the magnification of the glass, the heat could easily be 120 or 130. I know that we had a situation where a child died in this area last week. It was just a short time that the child had been left in the vehicle. The mother had gone into the store for less than an hour, left her child, 4-year-old, out in the vehicle because the child was asleep and the mother didn't want to wake the child. In my opinion, that's a lame excuse. And the child died. We've had a number of police canines die in the last month from heat, stroke, exhaustion in the vehicle, succumb to the heat. So it is very important that while you're on patrol that you do check out the vehicles as you are patrolling and make sure that there are no children and no animals left in the vehicle. Now, as a private officer, if you have, you know, a situation, if you happen to come upon a vehicle where a small infant or child is in the vehicle, of course, we want you to dial 911. However, don't stop there. If the child looks like it is in distress, if it is obviously not breathing, not moving, you are authorized by law to smash out the windows. You have the legal right as a private citizen to do whatever is necessary to save a life. And in a situation like this, if you are sure that the child is not breathing or moving and is in imminent danger, you are authorized legally to intervene and to open that vehicle prior to emergency personnel arriving. And if you want to verify that the child is not just sleeping, you can rock the car, you can pound on the window, you can make noise to see if the child moves, if there's any movement. You can also tell if there's any chest movement, if the child is breathing, and obviously if they're not, if there's no movement, no indication whatsoever that the child is conscious, then you do what you must do to save a life. Plain and simple. Worry about the other factors and consequences later, because 9 times out of 10, and I'll just say 10 times out of 10, if you are prudent in your actions, you have no worries about any type of ramifications, civil liability, or anything else. Remember, while you're on patrol, be looking for those children, animals, and the elderly. If you have an elderly citizen sitting in a hot car in a shopping center, out in a doctor's parking lot waiting for their family to come out, consider them as well. I always provided my staff, and still do, with bottled water in coolers during the summer months to offer to others while they're on patrol. It's a nice friendly gesture, and it's something that could help your customers, your clients, and would definitely be appreciated. And it's not very costly. You can buy, you know, a huge 24 or 36 count water for about, you know, $5. So you might want to just think about that. In any case, we do want you to be vigilant during these summer months and be sure that you are looking for those young children, animals, or elderly who may be in distress because of the heat, as well as taking precautions for yourself and your staff. We talk frequently over the last few weeks about the many storms and the situations during the tornado season, and now we're in the hurricane season. We've had a number of tropical storms already moving throughout the Gulf, and we do expect this to be a lively hurricane season. So, again, I just want to caution you as well to be prepared for that, because especially if you're living in along the Gulf Coast, if you're living in Florida, you know, these things are just seasonal things that you have to deal with and be prepared. Also have some breaking news to tell you about. Two security officers have been killed this week in the line of duty. An Illinois security officer, 73 years old, was killed after an assault. He did succumb to his injuries after being transported to the hospital. His name has not been released yet. We will bring you more details and information about him as they become available to us. Also, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, over the weekend, a private security officer was killed in a very unusual manner. Police had tracked, by using LoJack, a construction piece of equipment, a payloader type equipment, bulldozer, whatever it was, to a location and was recovering that. They called in a crane to move a couple of dumpsters that was blocking the piece of equipment that they were trying to recover. And unfortunately, the crane dropped a very large dumpster, and it crushed a private security officer who was on scene working this case with Philadelphia police. His name has not been released yet either. We are checking into it. The unfortunate thing here, besides the obvious death, is that only one news source picked up on this. And we find many times, as we try to gather statistical information, that very little detail, very little information is picked up on frequently on security officer deaths, and in some cases, none at all. And it makes it very hard for us to track this information. And in this case, like I said, ABC, the local ABC affiliate, was the only station that picked up on this incident, and unfortunately, it has not made national news. We also had four police officers killed this week in the line of duty. So far, seven police officers have died in the month of July. Seven. One every 36 hours. We've had 97 police officers killed in the line of duty so far this year. 97. We are on track to break last year's record numbers of 160 officers killed in the line of duty. This year, we could hit 175. We pray and hope not, but it is possible with already 97 deaths in just the first half of the year. We want you to be alert. We want you to have good safety measures in place. I don't have the statistics in front of me for the number of security officers killed in the line of duty this year. I believe it's around 50 so far. But it is definitely on the upswing and increasing, and especially armed confrontations, which our show next week will be about armed and dangerous, about armed confrontations involving private security. We have a number of great radio shows coming up and a number of great radio shows on demand. You can listen 24/7 just by going to the website and clicking on and listening at your convenience. Many people listen to our programs long after they've been recorded. Many listen on iTunes. Some listen on our website. We have great shows coming up. 10:15, Juvenile in Custody tonight, the do's and don'ts about dealing with juveniles. Next week, we have a great show. We are really happy and excited about Armed and Dangerous. We'll have a couple of security officers from Nashville and from Atlanta, Georgia area that have been involved in shootouts recently, and we will be interviewing them. In 3 weeks from now, we have a show coming up, the PPP of Public Safety. That is the Policy, Procedures, and Protocols. Don't miss this one because we will be talking about how to proceed during different incidents and situations, how to write policies and procedures for your agency, your department, your security staff, and how to have effective protocols in place to handle all types of incidents and situations. So that's coming up in 3 weeks. Next week is Armed and Dangerous. Don't miss those shows. And, of course, on Tuesday afternoons, 3 p.m., Eastern time, from wherever I might be that day, we broadcast the LP Zone, Loss Prevention for Retail Security and Mall Security. If you are involved in loss prevention or retail security, make sure you listen to this show either live or later on afterwards on demand. And make sure that you pass this information on. Get other LPs to be listening to the show because it's all about loss prevention and retail security. We really are the only security industry-specific radio show in the world, folks. And that is something to be howling about. It really is. It's something to howl at the moon about. This is huge. It's a huge accomplishment for our organization, for our staff, our members, our associates. Our radio shows are listened to by thousands of people worldwide every week, and it is the only security/public safety industry specific radio show anywhere. You can't find it anyplace else because nobody else has it, and we really enjoy doing our shows. And we hope that you enjoy listening. Everyone in the industry should be listening to our show. Tell your friends, your coworkers, tell every security professional that you know. be a guest, be a co-host on one of our shows simply by sending us an email to radio@privateofficer.com. That's right, radio@privateofficer.com. If you'd like to be a co-host, submit a topic, do a little research, and we will be glad to have you co-host one of the shows. Just email us at radio@privateofficer.com. You can also submit any news, training events, anything that you'd like for us to announce, free of charge, by the way. We'll be glad to do it right here on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Now, also, we should mention that you can follow us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I know that seems a little freaky. Follow us? I'll be looking over my shoulders. Watch how I pack a weapon. No, seriously, you can follow us on the web anytime just by going to our main homepage, www.privateofficer.com. You can click on to follow us on Facebook. You can follow us 24/7 on Twitter. Now, that is the best place, really, to be because our news blog and our news alerts are hooked up to a feed that goes right into our Twitter account, and so you'll be instantly notified of any breaking news or any news alerts, any BOLOs, or any information coming out of our headquarters. You'll get it right there on Twitter/Private Officer. But you can get all of those links right off our main page. You can also join our own forums right there from our main page. Click on the forums link, and you can also follow our news 24/7 from our homepage at www.privateofficer.com. If you'd like to call in tonight, after a while, we will be opening up the lines for a few minutes. You can call in with any of your questions, comments. You can bring up a topic. You can ask about our chapters, about membership, or anything else. And I will be happy to discuss those things with you coming up here shortly when we open up the lines. We're going to go to a quick break. We'll be right back. I can move it up by Saturday night. You get in there, that's enough to make me think it's all right. I try to keep it loose, but a lot of things tight. Take it all the verses, so I'll see you tonight. All right, we're back. Thanks for being with us tonight. Thank you for joining us here on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Listen, folks, we need your support here, and we need you to support the security industry and help us to support the security industry and all of the great things that we do. We need the funds to support all of the activities that we have, all the services that we bring to the security industry. And we really need for you, your company, your associates, your employees to become members of Private Officer International, either individually or as a corporate member, because we are the only organization in the security industry, number one, that has a specific radio show geared toward the security industry. And we bring up a lot of great subjects, training, topics. We bring a lot to the program every week. It's a very time-consuming, but it is something that we do for everyone's benefit. And so we need for you to support us so that we can support the security industry. It should also be noted that we're the only organization that has a targeted security industry news network and blog. We have dedicated staff constantly searching out news items involving private security. And we're the only organization that has a dedicated news alert system where we send out news alerts of various situations involving private security as well as officer down notices. We're the only organization in the security industry that does that. We also are the only one to offer International Security Officer Awards and a recognition program. Nobody else in this industry, no other company, agency, or association offers the type of security officer awards and recognition programs that we do. We have the only Security Officer Hall of Fame in the world. We started it 2 years ago. This has been our second year that we've inducted a class into it, and there's something else like it. It is the ultimate recognition for anyone involved in the private security industry. Every industry in the world has had a Hall of Fame, except private security. And so we decided several years ago that we needed to recognize many folks for their dedication, their heroic actions, and we have the Private Officer Hall of Fame. We have the only security officer memorial, which is held every year honoring those killed in the line of duty. There's no other organization, no other company, no other association that has a yearly event as we do. We have the only vest program for private security that have had, they've had a number of programs for the law enforcement industry, not for private security. We're the only security association that offers 40 member benefits and growing every day. We're the only security association that offers a $3,000 line of duty death benefit. No other association or organization does that. We're the only security association that offers an automatic 15% off of college tuition program. Nobody else does that, folks. We're the only security association with a national security officer memorial page that's updated instantly when an officer is killed in the line of duty. And we're the only security, private security association building a permanent memorial wall to recognize those killed in the line of duty. Nobody else. We're the only security organization dedicated to all levels of the security, public safety, private and public law enforcement sectors. Nobody else. They're either geared toward management or they're geared toward police. They're geared toward one thing or the other. Our association and organization takes into consideration every level, especially the frontline personnel. Officer Down memorial pages, you may be familiar with them, does not recognize nor do they include any private police officer, any security officer who has special police authority, any campus police officer, any housing police officer, any special police. None of those officer down, officer deaths in the line of duty are included on those home pages, on those officer down memorial pages. But we do include them and specifically have them as members. We give a lot away continuously. We give away training, information, advice, consulting, all sorts of things. But we are in need of your financial support to help us to continue our goals. And we're asking that you and your staff your company, get involved, and join Private Officer International Association and support the private security industry today. You may also make a donation to the memorial wall that we are building at www.privateofficer/memorial fund. And you can earmark that for the memorial wall. We talked a moment ago about the Security Officer Memorial Week. That is every year, the third week of September. This year, it is September 18th through the 24th, 2011. We encourage you to write your governors, your mayors, and have them issue a proclamation notifying everyone that they recognize the value, the importance of private security and the security officer desk. If you need examples or information about this, send us an email to adminassist@privateofficer.com. Adminassist@privateofficer.com. We also are in a process right now of doing three major projects. We are writing our state representatives, and we have a number of members on board helping us with this, to increase the statutes in each state on assault of a private security officer. In most states, it is a simple or aggravated assault or battery, just like any other citizen. However, in five states, it is now a felony to assault a private security officer in the performance of their duties. And so we want that to be the letter of the law. We want that to be the law in every state, and we are pushing for that. We are in a campaign right now contacting our state representatives. If you'd like to get involved with that, send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. The second thing that we're doing, just kicked this off in the last few weeks, we have a small committee that now is collecting data in the Maryland, D.C., and Virginia area where they have private police, SPOs, and especially in the state of Virginia, where they have a state statute that allows private security to make full police type arrests on private property in the performance of their duties. So we have a committee that is putting together some statistics in those three states, and then we'll move on to a few other states that have similar statutes. We're collecting data on a number of arrests made by private security each year in those areas. And we've just begun this. We have no data for you yet, but when we collect it and compile it, analyze it, and all those good things, we will definitely be sending out a press release. I'm very curious to see, especially in the state of Virginia, where security personnel can make full police-style arrests on private property, how many arrests are being made in that state by security officers. The third project that we're currently working on, and again, we need your assistance and your support, not only financially, but also physically. If you'd like to be involved in any of these committees or any of this activity, just send us an email to adminassist@privateofficer.com. But the third thing that we're doing is we have a new network that we're going to be setting up called SPINE, which is the Security Police Information News Exchange. And what that basically is, many local communities nationwide do have some type of networking between security and law enforcement, and we're going to be setting up a national network and exchange of information and BOLOs and passing those on to local security personnel via internet, email, news alerts, which will help you to be on the lookout for stolen vehicles, wanted fugitives, so on and so forth. So those are three major projects that we are working on right now. And again, if you'd like to be part of that, of course, we do encourage you to get involved. Send us an email to adminassist@privateofficer.com. adminassist@privateofficer.com. Whew, we're working, baby. We're working. We're working. We got a lot going on, and we sure need some help. We sure need some financial support. We need some assistance in every which way. And, you know, if you're in the private security, public safety industry, you should be absolutely thrilled and happy. Glory be that there is an organization, an association, such as Private Officer International, because we are your voice, we are your hands, we are your feet, we are getting the job done. It's all about the private security industry. So it's important that you join us, be part of this fantastic, exciting, rapidly growing association. Go to www.privateofficers.com, be a member today. We have a lot of news to bring you. I mean, time on this radio program goes by so quickly. A lot of things to tell you about. If you haven't heard about the training initiative, go to our website at www.privateofficer.com. Click on the blue banner at the top of the page. You can get some free training right now. We have a training initiative where we're trying to train 1,000 security officers nationwide, worldwide actually, on two additional certifications that they normally would not be required in their state. It's free right now just by going to www.privateofficer.com, and there's more information for you right there. Wow. So much going on. And there's so much more that we want to bring to you. We just need your support. We really do. We just need for you to get involved. We can't do it all. We can't do it all. All right, this week we want to say happy birthday to a group of fine folks, Dennis Payne in Dallas, Texas. Dennis Payne is very old. He is so old, at the age of 11. Dennis Payne has just turned 11 in Dallas, Texas. Thanks, Steve. Steve Payne sent that in to us. Happy birthday, Dennis. We hope that you got everything that you were looking for, just like Christmas. Larry Prescott in Charlottesville, Virginia, 66 years young this week. Martin Wiseman in Westerfield, I believe that's Massachusetts, 48 years old. Happy birthday to you, Martin. Larry Hyatt in Newcastle, Delaware. Don't know how old he is, but he's old. Michelle DuPont in Hendersonville, Tennessee, beautiful city up on the lake, 55 years young today. Lewis Ferrett in Barton, Tennessee. He's 73 young today. Tony Gore, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 37. Christopher Webb in Elgin, Texas. And Michael St. Andre in Las Vegas, Nevada. We hope that all of you really enjoyed your day. We hope that you've had a special birthday and many more to come. Happy birthday to you. I would sing to you, but I was told last time that I did that never to do it again. I don't know why, because I think I'm a pretty good singer. But anyways, we also have, you know, to mention that we had the largest class, the largest group to graduate from our Certified Asset Protection Professional 1 and 2 and Certified Church Security Specialist class. We had the largest class graduate this year, and we would like to duly recognize them. Now, we did mention last week some of their names, but these are the rest of the class. And so join me in congratulating. By the way, this is no small thing, because those of you who have gone through the CAPP 1 or 2 or even the Church Security Specialist class, you know that this is not an easy course to go through. It is an online course, but it is interactive and it is very intense, very involved. It involves a lot of training, a lot of modules, a lot of assignments and homework. So congratulations tonight to Troy Carter, Mobile, Alabama, Peter Sizemore, Mobile, Alabama, Kurt Congers, Mobile, Alabama, Susan Davis, Mobile, Alabama, Trenton Morgan, Mobile, Alabama, Michael Dunn, Mobile, Alabama, and Bruce Dunn, Mobile, Alabama. Their whole company, or actually a unit within their company, took the course. So congratulations to all of you for passing this, you know, very intense course. Also recognizing today, Paul Monday, Chicago, Illinois, Mary Bridges, San Diego, California, Peter McKeevers, St. Paul, Minnesota, Larry Turner, Macon, Georgia, James Matson in Maine, Donato Cincy in Greenwich, Connecticut, Richard Craighead, Manassas, Virginia, Ken Kingsman, Billings, Montana, and Alan Marion, Phoenix, Arizona. I feel like I'm, you know, reading off the awards nominated for. Also, the CAPP2, Tammy Craig in Melbourne, Florida, David Craig in Melbourne, Florida, James Trotman, Melbourne, Florida, and Keith Partridge, Melbourne, Florida. Again, that company, some of their personnel also took the course. Sandy Duncan in Houston, Texas, Brian Douglas, Portland, Oregon, and Kevin Moore in Belton, Texas. Also graduating this week in the Church Security Specialist course, Kevin Moore, Belton, Texas, Shorndon McLeod, Brunswick, Georgia, Paul Hemmings, Atlanta, Georgia, Stuart Tompkins, Beaverton, Oregon, John Kipley, Richmond, Virginia, Kevin Jones, New York City, Mary Huntington, Washington, D.C., Martin Day, Charlotte, North Carolina, and Betty Day in Charlotte, North Carolina. We had a great class. Training Division said we had many of sparkling students. Great, great group. 41 graduating. Congratulations, all of you, for an excellent job. And we hope, we wish you much success in your careers and in the use of your training. And we hope that you pass that information on to others as well. And, wow, we're just, this is exciting, folks. Training is very exciting. It helps you in your job performance. It helps you in officer safety on the job. And it definitely will help you in your career endeavors, whatever it might be. So we encourage you to check out the many certification courses that we offer. And as we've mentioned before a number of times, Armor University will also be accepting, you know, some of these credits toward a college degree program here in the next few months. So we highly recommend that if you're interested in progressing in your education, that you take the CAPP 1 or 2 and use it, you know, for your advancement as well as toward a degree program. But congratulations, everyone, for your achievement. We have a new now hiring group on our forums, something that Stephanie added over the weekend. This is a free service to you, our listeners and members, associates. If you are looking for a job, we will be posting. We get many job notifications during the course of the week and months. And as they come in, we will post them to this group on our forums at www.privateofficer.com. Click on the forums. This is a free service to you. We are not being paid to do this. We are not being asked to do this. We are not being paid by a third party. This is an absolutely free service to you from us, and all the information that we get, we will post. We won't have any other information in our office, but you know, hopefully this will help someone who may be out of a job. We personally, as a group, as a company, we are hiring. We're currently looking for a franchise business development manager. If you have any marketing skills, if you've ever been involved in franchising, send us your resume. We're also looking for a police officer, full-time, must be certified by the state of Virginia or have minimal special conservator authority. We are also looking for a membership recruiter, full-time. These are salaried positions. And we are also looking for several non-salaried positions. Go to our website. Click on the job opportunity link to view more or send us an email or your resume to adminassist@privateofficer.com. And we'll also post that information from time to time on the new group site on the forums. So you can also go there. We haven't mentioned this in a while, but if you are interested in becoming an automatic published author, we are compiling a book that we've been working on now for about 8 months called Security in Motion. It is a compilation of private security officers' actions and involvement activities while on duty, everything from something funny to something serious to major arrest. Write 200-plus words and send it to us at adminassist@privateofficer.com. We will include it in our book. You will become an automatic published author. That's a pretty good deal. And all of the funds will be going to our memorial benevolent services that we have. And we'd love for you to be part of it. We'd love for you to take part of it. Hey, while I'm on the air, we like to receive emails. We tell you that all the time. And candy. What kind of candy? Chocolate, vanilla, strawberry? Candy just wrote us an email. She's from Texas. And she says that there are several Texas security associations involved in similar assistance programs and would like to network with us. Great. Send us, we'll have someone contact you off the air about this. Thanks for sending us an email. We are familiar with several programs being offered in Texas and several other states, but we do thank you for that. If you would like to send us an email as well, just send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. I'll be glad to read the email on the air or answer it off the air, whichever you desire. Very quickly, I want to head over to the news. We do have quite a bit of news going on. I did tell you that we've had a number of police officers killed this week. Officer Ryan Stringer of the Alhambra Police Department in California was killed over the weekend in a car accident. He was responding to a call when he and another patrol officer collided. He was killed. He was 26 years old and only 2 years on the job. The officer in the other vehicle is in critical condition. In Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, police there say a man walked into the St. Clair Hospital saying he was ill. He went into the restroom and killed himself. Milton Levine, 88 years old, brought a handgun in with him and committed suicide at the hospital. A Maryland woman in Rockville, Maryland, has been arrested and is going to trial for killing her coworker. to cover up a shoplifting incident earlier this year. Police say that Brittany Norwood is accused of killing Jana Murray at a sportswear store in a mall because the coworker discovered that she was shoplifting. So rather than just, you know, be arrested, she killed the woman. Two women in Bloomfield, Michigan, have been arrested for assault and felony theft, as well as injuring a pedestrian as they were trying to flee with a stolen television. Susan Bell, 44, and Brenda Benton, 48, are both being held under $50,000 bond after they shoplifted a TV from the Kmart. Security confronted them. The women took off and evidently struck a parking lot. Another shoplifter in Butler, Missouri, committed suicide after shoplifting a number of items. He fled. He was involved in a police pursuit. Police say that Forrest Scott Smith, 42, displayed a handgun and then fatally killed himself on the interstate. In Vanceville, California, a electrical supervisor at the Home Depot, the local Home Depot store, Kent Lewis, 24, was arrested by loss prevention after he was discovered taking $8,000 from the store in a scheme. He is being held on an undetermined amount of bond. Also in the news, you may have heard about this, Dog the Bounty Hunter and his crew busted into a restaurant bar type place in Breckenridge, Colorado over the weekend looking for the father of the owner of the location, who evidently jumped bail, and got into a brawl with a number of people in the bar. Police responded. No charges have been filed yet, but it does look like some folks from his crew will be arrested. Three men in Springfield, Massachusetts this weekend was arrested after displaying a handgun at the Bay State Medical Center there in Springfield. Police say that Lyle Treadwell, 28, Shameen Howard, 20, and Darian Brown, all of them were arrested for disorderly conduct and carrying firearms without a permit after an incident involving hospital security. In North Miami, Florida this weekend, a security officer at the Casa Bella Apartments was robbed. An armed gunman held him up and shot a resident of the apartment complex during a robbery incident. The security officer was not injured. Police are still searching for the suspect. Also in the news, a security officer in Ventura, Florida, arrested or apprehended a employee of the Target store after she allegedly sold worthless gift cards to unsuspecting customers. Customers would come in, they would purchase gift cards, and she would load the gift card, pocket it, and then give the customer blank gift cards. Police suspect that she's done that numerous times, and she has been arrested. In Roanoke, Virginia, two security officers working at the Goodwill store was injured after an intoxicated man identified as Kevin Baumgartner, 40, crashed his vehicle into the front of the Goodwill store and then assaulted the security officers as they tried to detain him. He's been arrested on a number of charges and being held on $10,000 bond today. In Harris County, Texas, shots were fired during a robbery of a Loomis armored truck. Police say that the armored car was making a pickup at the Fiesta grocery store when two armed suspects tried to rob them. Shots were fired. They fled. Unsure if there's any injuries. In Sterling Heights, Michigan, on Friday, the total armored truck was carjacked. Suspects stole the vehicle at gunpoint as they were making a pickup at the Michigan Department of Treasury. They emptied out the vehicle of an undetermined amount of cash and fled. A mall security officer in Naples, Florida, apprehended Ricardo Florent, 30, after he try to purchase some expensive sunglasses with fake identity and credit cards. He fled, but security officers were able to take him into custody. He faces 19 counts of identity theft. In Taunton, Massachusetts, mall security there at the Silver City Galleria apprehended several suspects as they were trying to steal Cadillac converters off vehicles parked in the parking lot. Harpersville, Alabama, which is part of Birmingham, Alabama, a police canine dog of the Harpersville Police Department was hit and struck and killed by a vehicle. Hunter, a drug detection dog, escaped from his, home, and was struck and killed on U.S. Highway 280, a very busy main road. In Center Harbor, North New Hampshire, a grandma came home to find a burglar in her house. 63-year-old Linda Carr made the burglar sit down, shut up, and wait as she called 911. She also made him empty his pockets, which contained her jewelry and prescription medications. 29-year-old Richard Raya is facing burglary charges and said, "Yes, ma'am, thank you, ma'am," until police arrived. In Longview, Washington, security officers at the Lower Columbia College apprehended a sex offender who was watching porno or actually some child porn on their internet. Police say that they were called to the college after Danny Joe Kennaway, a 20-year-old student there, was found watching the child porn on his computer. Security is involved in all sorts of things, folks. They are Johnny on the spot, definitely the first responder in today's world. In Kansas City, Missouri, a Kansas City man, Thurpless Moose, has pled guilty to bank robbery, which involved the killing of a security officer. They say that he and another robbed and shot the security guard, and he has pled guilty to those charges. We have a lot of news to bring you, much more news than I really have time to tell you about. But there are a couple other news items I'd like to mention. In Corpus Christi, a security officer confronted an armed man who was attacking and trying to kidnap a woman at the Whataburger. In Corpus Christi, the armed security officer pulled his weapon and chased the man. As police was responding, police arrested 19-year-old Julian Lugo and charged him with a number of felonies. Again, security being involved, Johnny on the spot. Prisoners in South Carolina have been found to have hacked the Crime Stoppers phones. They ran up $7,000 in personal phone calls. Police are investigating to see if they can pinpoint exactly which prisoners were involved. In Mobile, Alabama, there was a murder over the weekend at the University of South Alabama, a very nice community-type university, close-knit in Alabama. Police say a man was stabbed to death. They do have one man in custody and have arrested him for murder. Authorities say that a taser gun slipped through security at the airport in New York City. They are investigating that incident. We have a lot going on in the security industry. It's not like it used to be 10 or 20 or 30 or even 5 years ago. It really isn't. Things are changing all the time. Security is much more proactive, much more becoming involved in incidents, crime in progress. the apprehension and detention and arrest of suspects, the confrontations. It just isn't like it used to be. And that's why it's so important that private security officers are trained properly, that they go above and beyond the requirements of their state. It is so important that security officers understand their duties, the laws, and have, you know, knowledge of what to do and how to do it and when to do it. All right, tonight we're going to be talking about 1015 juvenile in custody. Juvenile crime is on the rise, especially violent crime, and we will be talking about that coming up after the break.
Sideways, cracked a brick when you hit the wall, yeah, so you didn't do your best, it pulled you down faster than a sunset, hey, it happens to us all, when the cold hard rain just won't quit and can't see your way out of it, you find your faith has been lost and shaken, here's your chance and it's worth taking. Get on your knees and dig down deep. You can do what you think is impossible. Keep on believing, don't give in. You got the strength, hooray, to win. Remember what one dream can do. You are unstoppable. You can weather any storm. Don't you know that you were born?
All right, 1015 juvenile in custody. According to the FBI, juvenile crime, especially juvenile violent crime, is increasing rapidly, although statistically, nationally, violent crime is declining in all areas except those involving juveniles. In fact, crime involving juveniles has risen a whopping 53% in the last 5 years. Now, there are many reasons for that, too many for us to discuss in this training. We can debate back and forth if it involves, teens living in single-parent homes, if it has to do with whether or not it's because both parents are working and the kids are left alone. Many latchkey kids are out there with little or no supervision. There is definitely a lack of oversight. There definitely is poor supervision when it comes to our teenagers. Kids roam the streets at all hours of the day and night. You can see them in the malls. You can see them walking up and down your streets and your towns and your cities. There's really many reasons why we are seeing such a huge increase in crimes involving juveniles. But there's just not enough time in our program to review each one. Now, we can blame their parents. We can put the blame on their teacher. We can blame church. We can blame society. But the facts are plain as day. There is and has been for quite some time a serious problem with juveniles being involved in serious, serious crime. Things are not getting better in that area. And we need to do something about it.
Crime Watch tonight, a murder in Castroville, followed by a chase into Salinas, a door-to-door search in the West Side neighborhoods, and the arrests of all three shooting suspects. Action News reporter Brittany Nielsen is live in West Salinas as the drama unfolds.
Yeah, Dan, a victory for law enforcement tonight, but an irreplaceable loss for a local family. This all started with a drive-by shooting in Castroville this evening, where one person shot and killed, at least eight shots fired there. The victim described as a teen from the Castroville area. Witnesses told deputies they saw a black Cadillac leave the scene at a high rate of speed. That vehicle then passed a deputy on Highway 183. The deputy followed it. The chase went on for about 6 to 8 minutes.
Reno and tonight, investigators say the men who did it are in custody. It happened overnight at a home near the intersection of Reno and Hayes. That's where we find eyewitnesses finding the shot as. Linda, now you spoke to the man who tried to stop the stabbing.
I did. He's actually the owner of the house, and he put that cross up there in memory of the teenager. He says that teen was his daughter's boyfriend.
Some serious crimes being committed by juveniles in Mobile on the rise. Fox 10 News reporter Cherish Lombard spoke with juvenile judge Edmund Naiman to see what he feels is causing the spike.
Our serious crimes, our murders, our robberies are up, and they are significantly up from just 2 or 3 or 4 years ago.
Judge Edmund Naiman says last year, 7 murders and 31 robberies were committed by juveniles in Mobile. This year, there have already been 6 murders and 21 first-degree robberies that Judge Naiman says were all committed by kids 15 years old and younger.
These young people that are charged with murders and robberies, there are some significant indicators that there's problems there, and they are not getting what they need.
Judge Naiman said children who are ignored and who don't have a protective force around them are more likely to commit crimes. He says parents should always know what's going on in their children's lives.
To know who your child is hanging around, to know what they're doing in the home, to know what's inside of their home, to check, to snoop, to be a parent. You know, that is probably the most important. And to do your job, your number one job as a parent is to see that their needs are taken care of, that they have, you know, mental health needs that you go in and you take care of those things. If they're doing poorly in school, find out what the problem is and try to address it. Most of the murders and most of the robberies we see, there is no parental involvement in these children's lives.
Judge Naiman says he will not say that there are local chapters of national gangs in Mobile, but he does say that children who are left alone and ignored will find something to occupy their time.
You can call it what you want, but we do have groups of individuals together that are causing a lot of problems.
Judge Naiman says almost all serious crimes committed by minors start with the child being arrested for possession of a gun. He says the child is usually later arrested for robbery and, down the line, murder. He says the punishment will soon be much more harsh for minors carrying guns.
City after city, state after state, we are seeing a huge increase in violent activities, violent crimes committed by juveniles. It's not like 10, 15, 20 years ago. Back in our day, juvenile delinquency meant that you were smoking a cigarette, that you were truant, skipping school, that you were not doing your homework, or maybe disobeying your parents. Maybe if you were really a little bit more serious of a delinquent, you were involved in maybe some petty shoplifting or vandalism, spray painting a building. Those were the delinquent days. juvenile delinquency is not juvenile delinquency anymore. Many teenagers from all walks of life, all social levels, are involved in gang activity, drugs, robberies, carjackings, murders, serious assaults, robberies. It's not petty crime anymore, folks. It's not just loitering. It's not just huffing some paint or drinking some alcohol or creating disturbances or vandalizing the local school. Things have changed. Juvenile crime is the fastest growing segment of violent crimes nationwide, according to the U.S. Department of Justice. Some say it's because of the leniency that we have for too long had with children who commit crimes. Too willing to forgive, just a slap on the hand over and over again. Juvie hall, you know, is a joke. Now these juveniles are getting into serious crime, robberies, drugs, rapes, murders. Watch your local news. Read your local newspaper headlines. I'm sure that you'll see these violent crimes being committed by kids, juveniles in your area. In fact, there's so much crime involving juveniles that the federal government actually has a branch of the U.S. Department of Justice devoted entirely to juvenile crime. It's called the OJJDP, the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Program. And what they do is they monitor the trends. They record statistics, and they network with law enforcement regarding the direction of juvenile crime. Now, tonight, there are some things that we're going to address as private security, as public safety officers. We're going to be talking about the use of force, pursuit, detention, length of detention, and release of juveniles. I'm wondering how many security agencies, companies, departments, proprietary departments have protocols, special procedures in place to handle juveniles. Does your company, your association, your proprietary department have specific protocols and procedures in place for how to deal with a juvenile offense, detention, arrest? Probably not. Probably not. For a long time, law enforcement and security has treated these as just kiddie crimes. They're no longer kiddie crimes. A large number of juveniles are now caught with guns. You just heard in that soundbite from a judge in Mobile, Alabama, a city of about 300,000, that seven of their murders were committed by teenagers 15 and under. That the serious aspect of these crimes all involve those carrying guns, 15 and under. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about policies, procedures, and protocols. And we'll be talking about how to put them together, how to effectively use them, how to incorporate them in your training. But tonight, we need to consider whether or not we have protocols and procedures in place that deal adequately and effectively when it comes to juveniles. Do you have a use of force procedure? Do you have a length of detention, or who do you release the juvenile to? We need you to consider that because it is important. It is very important in these days. It is important for you to understand in your state what a felony and what a misdemeanor is. So many times I ask that question and I get the same answer. Misdemeanor is just a minor little crime. Maybe they get a couple of days in jail or a fine. A felony is a more serious crime. That's the definition I get most of the time. You need to understand what a misdemeanor and a felony is in your state, especially when dealing with juveniles. Why? Why is that so important? Because you need to know. Knowing this information will dictate your response, your use of force, and your overall actions. You need to know if they commit a crime, will they go to the juvie hall or the big boys jail? You need to know if it's a misdemeanor or a felony so that you understand how to handle them. Well, what is a juvenile? What is a juvenile? What is a minor? What age are we talking about? Do you even know?
Well, I think it's 18. It's 18, I think, in most states.
That's what most people think, but that's not the fact. A juvenile, when it comes to the law and committing crime, ages vary in different states. In many states, it is 18. In other states, it can be 16. And in several states, for serious crime, it is actually 15. So you need to know what your state defines as a juvenile. What is the age? 17, 16, 18, or 15? Each state's criminal justice system has different age of responsibility for minors. Know what the age is in your state. It is very, very important that you understand what the statutes are when, you know, we're talking about juveniles, when we're talking about minors, when we're talking about teenagers. Know what your state law says, not just the federal law, but your state law. Juveniles today are very almost cold, I would say. They don't understand the severity, oftentimes, of their crime. When they shoot someone, they just don't get it. When they commit violent crimes, they often think it's fun and games. I've heard desensitized used many times when talking about juveniles. And I guess that is part of it. They just don't get the seriousness of their crime. Maybe it's because of the video games. You know, so many children, teenagers, are into the video games and they're shooting on those games and killing and it's just a game. Maybe it's the environments that they grow up in. Maybe it's peer pressure to be involved in gangs and crimes. Maybe it's the way that they live, or maybe the way that their parents live, the way that they have grown up to be. I do think that many teenagers are desensitized because of the day and age that we live in, the environment, the video games. A few years ago, in Nashville, Tennessee, someone that I know, a local celebrity, their son and several other teens broke into a home, did a home invasion, and was involved in a shootout. This was a well-to-do family, someone who had quite a bit of money, great opportunity, going to a great college, and they did it for the fun. They did it because they were high. As private security personnel, as public safety officers, we oftentimes are involved in juveniles, whether it be for petty theft, shoplifting, trespassing, loitering, drinking. We are going to be involved with them firsthand long before the police arrive. And we need to understand and know what the laws are. And we need to understand what we can and cannot do. The U.S. Department of Justice says that most teens today involved in violent crimes are involved in assault, rape, robbery, arson, auto theft, burglary, larceny, theft, vandalism, weapons, drug and alcohol violations, homicide. These are the type of crimes that we're going to have to deal with. The crimes of years ago of juveniles, such as curfew violations and refusing to obey parents and running away and truancy, yeah, those things are still common, but not as much as the more serious crime. Juvenile crime does often start with the curfew violation, with the truancy, with the underage drinking, and as the soundbite from the Mobile, Alabama judge stated, it progresses. It progresses. As private security personnel, we need to take every involvement, every contact with a juvenile serious. We need to report them. We need to get the law enforcement officers involved. If your town has a juvenile division, many towns, the police department do have a juvenile division in the police department, and we need to get them involved in every activity involving a juvenile.
Two-year-old is in juvenile detention tonight, accused of killing a woman near the North Spokane Y. A detective found her body in her apartment this morning, a place police had been called before. In a story you saw first on KXLY.com, our Eric Loney is live at the scene in the 500 block of East Hawthorne. Eric?
Yeah, the apartment manager here at the Cross Point apartment complex tells police have been called here before by neighbors because of screaming and yelling coming out from apartment number 58. Now, the crime tape is down tonight. Detectives took it down just a short time ago, but tape surrounded apartment number 58 all morning long after a Spokane police detective responded to a report that someone may have been murdered here. That detective found a woman's body in the bottom floor apartment. Sheriff's detectives are releasing very few details tonight, including the victim's name, how she died, or how they found their suspect. Detectives interviewed an unidentified 17-year-old boy about the murder and then arrested him. Neighbors told us they heard screaming last night, and the apartment manager told us that's not unusual.
This is how a 10-year-old will stay locked up for beating a homeless man. Hello, I'm Barbara West.
I'm Vanessa Eccles.
One of the 10-year-old boys who beat a Daytona Beach homeless man is going to stay locked up for a long time. In just the last hour,
A judge sentenced the boy to time in a secure treatment facility. Channel 9's Jason Allen was in the courtroom and has details on why the judge decided the boy needs help.
For the first time in this case today, we saw real emotion out of this boy. We heard a real apology. He even told the court he wanted to go home from the courthouse here today with his mom, but he is not going to go home, potentially not for a long, long time. The boy has been in juvenile detention since late March. That is when he and two other boys severely injured John D'Amico, a local homeless man. They threw rocks and a brick at D'Amico that's left him blind in one eye. The 10-year-old Daytona Beach boy even buried his head in his mother's arms at one point today as the judge and attorneys discussed doctor's reports about his health. They said he shows a lot of aggressive tendencies and threatens to hurt not just others, but even hurt himself. Now, the judge said he believes the boy does have a bright future, but he also said he needs serious treatment. The victim, however, did not believe the boy's apology for what he did.
There is no age limit. There is no age minimal for juveniles involved in severe crime, violent crime, or petty crime. You may be called to a fight, to a theft, to a shooting, to a robbery involving a juvenile. You may find out that the suspect in a violent attack, a violent crime, is a juvenile, is somebody who's 12, 10, 15. In this situation, a 17-year-old killed a woman, another 10-year-old in Florida severely beat a homeless man to the point of him becoming blind. While we have sympathy and empathy and we want to understand, we have to do our job. Empathy and sympathy cannot play a part when we're on duty, when we're trying to investigate or apprehend a suspect. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, roughly half of all youth arrests are made because of theft, simple assault, drug abuse, curfew violation, disorderly conducts. In 1999, 2,468,800 juveniles were arrested. In 2008, 3,800,000 juveniles were arrested. Of that, 500,000 involved serious crimes. Another 443,000 involved felony drug abuse. And female juvenile crime is also up. In fact, they account for almost 50% of all arrests of juveniles. Don't underestimate them just because they are juveniles. It's something that we have to face. It's getting out of hand.
We have the name and picture of a teenager charged with murdering a nun near Gala.
Also this afternoon, the FBI announced when the teen will be in federal custody. Valerie Castro is here with the latest in our top story. Valerie? Well, murder charges against Rahalio Carroll came out this afternoon. He is expected to be arraigned on those charges Monday before a U.S. magistrate judge. Carroll was arrested Thursday in connection with the death of sister Marguerite Bart, but at that time was only charged with unauthorized use of a vehicle and damage to criminal property. Officials say he was seen driving around in sister Bart's Honda SUV after the nun was discovered dead in her Navajo home.
I could tell you account after count, read news headline after news headline, play you soundbite after soundbite to make you understand the seriousness of the juvenile crime situation. regardless of your assignment, your position, your location, your geographics, you will be involved at one point, and many of you will be involved frequently with juveniles. Your place of employment, your company, needs to have protocols and procedures in place. Let's kind of look at a few things. I want to look at the use of force when detaining or arresting a juvenile. Our advice is to follow the force continuum as you would with an adult. Use reasonable force to bring them into compliance. And unfortunately, that does also include the use of deadly force. You may find yourself in a situation where you are faced off with a juvenile who is armed, and you will have to use deadly force on a child, 12, 13, 15, 16 years old. You may be called out to a robber. You may intervene in an assault where the suspect is a juvenile who is armed, and you are left with no choice but to use deadly force. As with any use of force situation, you must follow the force continuum to protect yourself and those around you. It is unthinkable sometimes to kill someone or severely injure someone who is the age of your own child. But it is the reality of our job. We often have this question brought to us, well, how far should I pursue the suspect? Again, depending on the crime and depending on the situation, we suggest very limited pursuit. We, you know, on the property is one thing, but we never recommend that you pursue a suspect off the property. You may follow them to obtain the license plate or direction of travel, but we don't recommend full-out pursuit. In any case, whether it be a juvenile or an adult, we don't recommend it at all. Juvenile crime has gotten severe in many, many areas. As a private security officer, public safety officer, campus police officer, private police officer, it is important that we document the crime, the incident, and all the particulars of the juvenile incident, just like we do with the adults, and that we forward that information to the appropriate authorities, get them involved. Many states are increasing their severity of punishment for juveniles involved in serious violent crimes. In fact, in Colorado, they just recently had to review the juvenile punishment in a crime because they thought they were too harsh.
Brian, thank you. Time and again, children have shown the capacity to commit heinous crimes. So when should the decision be made to try kids as adults? Right now, Colorado lawmakers are looking at that question. Tonight, KKTV 11 News reporter Stephanie Ross takes us back to one of the most shocking murder cases here in southern Colorado and also asks the question, are some murderers too young to serve life sentences? In the early morning hours of December 17, 1992, 15-year-old Jacob Eind slaughtered his mother and stepfather in their Woodland Park home.
with the help of a friend.
My whole colon just felt like lead for weeks afterwards.
Pamela and Kermit Jordan were shot first in their bed by 17-year-old Gabriel Adams. They were stabbed, then they struggled, and Jacob finally finished the job when he grabbed his stepdad's .357.
And to this day, I consider it one of the more gruesome crime scenes I've ever seen.
Colorado Attorney General John Southers was the district attorney when the murder happened, and as DA, it was his decision to try the two teens as adults.
Given the facts of that case, the notion of sending Jacob Eind and Gabriel Adams to juvenile court and having them get a juvenile sentence where they'd be out in a couple of years just was not a viable option to me.
Jacob Eind had confessed to the murders, so it could have been an open and shut case. But stories of abuse surfaced during the trial.
And she just kind of grabbed Jacob and said, I just hate you. I wish you had never been born.
Judge Jane Looney presided over the case.
The way he'd been treated by his parents, it was just awful.
I contacted Jacob behind bars here at the Colorado State Penitentiary in Canyon City. He was unable to talk to us, but he did send me a letter. In that letter, he talks about what was going through his head all those years ago. He writes, the only reason I felt so trapped that I needed to kill them was because I was too weak to directly confront them. My act was of pure selfishness. It was the coward's way out, all so I wouldn't have to go through the pain and struggle of speaking up.
Well, the saddest case I ever did.
The combination of abuse allegations and Jacob's age drew sympathy from both Judge Looney and some members of the jury, but there was no question that he killed his parents.
The jury didn't buy it, and I think properly so.
The verdict reads, we, the jury, find defendant Jacob Eind guilty of first-degree murder.
Guilty at 16 years old. The mandatory sentence at that time, because he was tried as an adult, life in prison with no possibility of parole.
Serious consequences for serious crimes committed by juveniles. It is a sad fact that we have children, teenagers, involved in such heinous, serious crimes. It is a sad record for our society. But it is a fact of life, and it is a fact that we must deal with in the private security and public safety industry. If you are in a situation where you have to detain a juvenile under the age of 18, we always recommend that you have a witness with you, if at all possible. That you document the interrogation, the apprehension, or the detention of the suspect, and that you only detain them no longer than 60 minutes before the police arrive. And in some cases, that may be hard to do, especially when police are so short on manpower in some metro areas, and it may be longer, depending on the severity of the crime. We also suggest that you only release the juvenile to a parent or the police, not to a brother, sister, or neighbor, friend, because they're not the responsible party. In order to avoid any litigation, any other consequences, we recommend that you get the parent down there and release them to the parent or to the police and let them handle it from there. We know that it's just a fact that many jurisdictions no longer even have a juvenile facility. Many times, law enforcement has to either release the child to the parent, regardless of the severity of the crime, or transport them for miles and miles to another county that does have a holding facility. But it's our job, once we've made the arrest or apprehension, to be responsible and to beware of our consequences if we release them to themselves. Because do you really think they're going to go home and say, hey, Mom, guess what? I got caught with a joint. I got caught shoplifting. I was caught down at the mall hanging out, and I slapped a security guard. He said, I got to go to court next Thursday. You really think that a kid is going to do that? Hey, Mom, Dad, guess what? This here is a ticket I got down there for vandalizing spray paint and busting out windows. I got to go to juvie. I got to turn myself in next Monday. You got to go with me, man. Do you really think that a teenager is going to do that? No, not in your life. So it's important that we contact the appropriate parent, legal guardian, or law enforcement agency and get them involved and take possession of the child. Now, once we release the juvenile to law enforcement, it's up to them. If they want to release them to themselves, if they don't want to wait until a parent can come and get them, if they don't want to transport to a juvenile detention facility, that's on them. We're going to write in our report, suspect juvenile, blah, 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 was released to officer, blah, 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 of such, such police department. Make sure that we're documenting, that we're dotting our I's and crossing our T's so that nothing comes back to bite us in the butt, that we are covered, that we CYA ourselves, our company, our department, that we have handled proper procedure and protocol for us. Never release a juvenile that you've caught trespassing, shoplifting, or committing any crime to themselves, because they can always go back and say, you illegally detained them, you stopped them and beat them up, you handcuffed them for no reason. They don't know what happened. They didn't do anything. All of a sudden, some big bully guard grabbed me by the throat and threw some handcuffs on me, threw me on the ground, and brought me into an office, and he held me there for 3 hours. And I don't know, I didn't do nothing. I didn't do nothing, Mom, Dad. I didn't do nothing. And you got a lawsuit on your hands. And not only that, you could face criminal charges for unlawful restraint, kidnapping, assault. So be sure that you document, first of all, that you have someone as a witness, if at all possible, unless you're working a post by yourself, that you document the situation, the arrest, the apprehension in writing and possibly audibly if you can by a tape recorder, video, and that you release them to the appropriate, responsible parent or law enforcement. This will alleviate potential litigation or criminal allegations or even charges against you. We have to be reasonable, professional, and prudent in our service, in our decision, and in the way that we handle juveniles. But keep in mind that juveniles are dangerous, just as dangerous as an adult. Many carry weapons. Many, in the inner city especially, are in gangs. Many are responsible for more serious crimes than just shoplifting or tagging or being involved in minor trespassing. Don't be tricked or conned or fooled by a juvie. Understand the potential for threat and make sure that you are up on your game, your officer's safety with them, as you would be with an adult. Treat everyone, no matter of their age, as a potential threat. The important thing at the end of the day, at the end of your shift, is to go home to your family, to your pets, to your empty apartment, whatever. It's important that you go home. So treat everyone as a viable threat. And that way, you won't let your guard down. Juveniles are violent and can be just as dangerous as any adult. Girl or boy, doesn't matter. It's important to have a use of force, a detention, and a length of detention and release protocol in place, and make sure that your agency, department, company, employer does have those things written down. It's important to know the difference between a misdemeanor and a felony. It's important to know the age of juveniles in your state. Don't just speculate. Don't just assume it's 18, because it might not be. It might be 15, might be 17, 16. If they're facing adult time, if they're facing the crime as an adult, you can handle them differently than you would a minor, a juvenile. It's not 1950. It's not long ago. Unfortunately, folks, we're living in a different age, a different time. And as private law enforcement, private security, we are on the front lines. We are the first responders. We're going to be there long before the police most of the time. We're going to be involved in those fights. We're going to be involved in those shoplifting, thefts, assaults involving juveniles, minors, and we have to know unequivocally 100% how to handle them, how much force to use, how to detain them, how to subdue them if they resist, what our consequences, our liabilities are, as well as keeping our officer safety protocols in place and keeping ourselves alive. Juvenile in custody. We hear that a lot more often these days than ever before. Juvenile crime is on the rise. You will be involved in some aspect of investigating, detaining, or arresting a juvenile for both minor and major violent crimes in your assignments. It's important that you understand the laws, responsibilities, and the duties involving minors and juveniles. Well, our time for tonight is up. We hope that you have taken something from this program, that you have some information that you can use on the job that's going to help you. We hope that if you're not a member of Private Officer International, that you will certainly join us, because we have a lot of great things to offer. As I mentioned earlier in the program, we are the only security organization that is, geared toward all levels of private security and private police, public safety. We're the only organization with a security-specific radio show, news program, award program, memorial program. If you'd like more information about Private Officer International, please write us today immediately at adminassist@privateofficer.com. Adminassist@privateofficer.com. And before I close, I do want to mention we are still actively involved in initiating our chapters throughout the country. Coming up this week on our homepage will be the locations of a number of chapters, maybe in your area. If you would like to be involved as a chapter manager, please send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. Oh, boy. Glad that you're with us. Glad that you've been here. And that's going to do it for us. Join us tomorrow afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, for the LP Zone, Loss Prevention, Retail Security. And until next time that we see you here on the radio, be blessed, be safe. And remember, someone out there cares about you. Have a great evening.